We'll report next on a key player in the nuclear standoff, Russia, and its president, Vladimir Putin. He has built a reputation as a strong leader, but in Moscow, it is not always clear how much authority Putin really commands. Here's NPR's Gregory Pfeiffer.
Putin has rarely appeared more confident than during an annual news conference last week. For 3.5 hours, the president expertly worked an auditorium crammed with 1,000 Russian and foreign journalists. He held sway over a broad range of topics, commanding a vast array of facts and figures. Putin has come under fire for canceling regional elections, cracking down on the free press, and renationalizing private industry. But angrily brushing off those who say Russia isn't fit to head the G8 this year, he said Moscow came to the table with better knowledge about the developing world than the other Western members can provide.
Because no one wants the G8 to turn into a collection of fat cats, because the level of inequality in the world is growing.
Closer to home, Putin dipped into his extensive supply of slang to defend Russia's decision to shut off natural gas supplies to Ukraine last month.
I apologize for the crude expression, but we didn't pick those prices out of our nose. There's a formula that's pegged to the world oil prices and world prices for petroleum.
Putin denounced his critics as ill-wishers and Sovietologists who aren't able to move beyond the Cold War. But he also peppered his stern messages with jokes and trivia. Fielding a question about the secret of his success from a blonde woman journalist, who said she spoke on behalf of all blondes, Putin said he doesn't smoke or drink, likes sports, and works hard. Then he asked her to convey a big hello to all blondes.
В вашем лице всем блондинкам большой привет.
Vladimir Pribilovsky is president of the Panorama think tank. He says Putin learned his ability to manipulate public opinion as a young KGB officer in East Germany in the 1980s.
He worked in a department that dealt in counter-propaganda, that is, deceiving the potential enemy. Well, now he has a new potential enemy, the people, and he's deceiving them very successfully.
Behind Putin's all-powerful image, how is Russia really ruled? Given the Kremlin's secrecy, observers say that's not easy to know. They speak of the reappearance of an old Cold War practice, Kremlinology. Under communism, experts hazarded guesses about who held power by studying those standing closest to Soviet leaders during parades on Red Square. Sarah Mendelson of Washington Center for Strategic and International Studies says identifying decision makers today once again resembles detective work.
You can imagine, you know, an FBI board, you know, you'd have to follow them to figure out who's saying what, where, when, and, you know, who's on top.
Most analysts agree two main groups are competing for power behind the scenes. The most powerful is the so-called Siloviki, power ministry officials from the security services and the interior and defense ministries. Like Putin himself, many are current or former KGB officers. The second big group consists of loyal technocrats who staff the finance and economy ministries. Most members of both groups come from St. Petersburg, Putin's hometown. Panorama's Pribilovsky says Putin's role of obscuring the ruling oligarchy's real makeup has enabled him to increase his influence.
When he came to power, his real influence inside the group that ruled the country was pretty small. He was in many ways a puppet, but now his role inside the elite group is quite large.
Putin will be a hard act to follow. That's why the main guessing game inside the corridors of power is whom the president will anoint to succeed him when his two-term limit expires in 2008. So far, the consensus is no one measures up. Gregory Pfeiffer, NPR News, Moscow.